Welcome to the Water Podcast. This is episode 2. Water is tool for testing web applications. You can find more in episode 1. Today is June 26, 2008. My name is Željko Filipin. With me today is Charlie Baker. Charlie, please tell us something about you.
Sure, just a general brief introduction. I'm a QA architect at Gap Inc. Direct. So that includes all of the Gap's online websites, gap.com, BananaRepublic.com, PiperLime.com, and OldNavy.com. I've been in that position for about 3 years. Previously working for the Gap for about 6.5 years, both as QA engineer and then as QA architect as well.
Do you listen to podcasts?
I actually haven't listened to many podcasts. I do check out a lot of the video from RailsConfs and RubyConfs on ConFreaks.com. But I haven't listened to many podcasts, honestly.
How did you get into computers?
I got a computer shortly after college. Ended up working at a small startup company. Got involved with computers, and it was one of those kind of pulls you in, sucks you in, and became my hobby and as well as my job. So it was kind of a 24-hour a day working on computers, night, day, and weekends.
You didn't get interested in computers earlier with, say, games?
I did play games a long time back, but I'm not a big gaming freak now. Work with a lot of people who are, but I'm not that much into games.
How did you get into software testing?
So I started out in software testing. So that was for a very small company that actually had a couple of products made for the Mac. We developed software for the first and only, I guess, Apple camera, digital camera, so the QuickTake. We developed a product for that, as well as a Photoshop DSP board to speed up image processing in Photoshop. I got involved there. We came out with a consumer-level image editing and scanner package. Was there for quite a few years before, unfortunately, that company went out of business, but that's where I got my start in QA.
Do you like it?
I immediately liked it. So there are people who I think really just enjoy testing, and some people get into it as part of a job. I liked it from the beginning. The one trap that I did fall into is that at that point QA was sort of a stepping stone into development. So I did end up moving after that into development, and then finally back into QA with the when I ended up at the Gap.
How did you get into automation?
So I had started out looking at automation, working the original job, looking at a visual test, which was a Microsoft product. Seemed interesting to me. I had an interest in both development and QA. So it seemed kind of a natural fit. At the Gap, I've been involved with automation, both as far as testing the business logic. So I was involved in a large project where we ended up writing a lot of Java tests. I started up two teams there to do white box testing. After that project, that was about a good 2-year project. After that, I ended up getting involved in the functional automation side of things. So at that point, we were using a large commercial tool. Had two people who had licensing and training for it, and a large QA team who was effectively responsible for a lot of manual testing. While it has its benefits in exploratory testing, really doesn't hold as much interest to me as automation testing.
How did you get into Water and Ruby?
So I started out after our large project, I started out looking at some open source alternatives to the large commercial tool that we were using at the time, given that licensing costs, training, as well as a lack of user community and various other issues, decided open source software would be the way to go. So at that point, I landed on a couple of what I call the top of the heap for web application testing, and that's a good portion of what we do at the GAP, or at least in GAP Inc. Direct, there was selenium and water. At that point, selenium, unfortunately, was pretty basic, bare bones. That was about 2.5 years ago. Lacked support for dialogues, modal dialogues, as well as SSL and secure support. So I was attracted to water because it did have support for all those elements, as well as a nice scripting language with Ruby. Selenium at that time didn't have, if I remember correctly, didn't have RC, so there wasn't a, there weren't, or at least a very advanced system for using scripting languages with Selenium, or other programming languages for that matter.
You said earlier that you like testing as soon as you got introduced to it. What is it that you like about it?
That's a good question. There's obviously the satisfaction in breaking something, which is a very, very primal, sense, something people tend to enjoy. I do like the fact that there's a fair amount of process, not heavyweight process, certainly, at this point, but process to make things better. So I think that is why I like testing and quality assurance in general.
We have a question from Water IRC channel, Jarib, I hope I said it right, would like to know something about the application you're testing.
Sure. So working in GAP Inc. Direct, we are working on the external facing e-commerce sites. Those sites are built in a standard enterprise J2EE stack with WebSphere, Oracle backend, JSPs and JavaScript on the front end. And it's a fairly standard, straightforward enterprise-level application. So those are our four external websites. We also have additional tools internally that support pushing out to those. So a lot of our testing, those are fortunately also J2EE-based standard web applications for the most part. So a lot of our testing involves straight functional testing, pushing through those. Obviously, as kind of everyone moves into the web services world and SOA, we've also been involved in testing web services, APIs, MQs for pushing information from one application to another, as well as database testing. So we have, in addition to the four external websites, we've got about 6 to 7 internal tools that actually push out to those websites or in some way are related. So all in all, we've got about 7 or 8 platforms that we're working on to test.
How big is your testing team?
Our testing team is about 30 people or so at the moment, with additional members kind of coming in and out. We do hire a lot of contractors and consultants, but it's ranged generally about 25 to 30 people or so within the last several years.
What's the number of developers?
It's a good question. I would imagine the ratio is probably a standard 3-to-1 ratio. So we do have upwards of 100 developers or roundabouts.
Brett asks at Water IC channel, when did you start using Water? You said it before, 2.5 years ago, right?
That's right. It was about 2.5 years ago. And one of the things about Water that I really liked, especially as being part, being open source, is the ability to get involved with it, which is obviously much more of a challenge with the commercial applications. So immediately after choosing Water as the as our kind of functional testing library of choice, I decided to get involved with the project. Became project manager at that point. Started moving things over from RubyForge into OpenQA, as well as getting involved with some of the coding effort. So I am a committer on Water and have been since the beginning for the most part.
Another question from Brett. What have you been using Water for?
So we use it for regression and smoke tests for the most part. Unit tests are all written by developers in JUnit. Our water tests are strictly functional automation tests. We also do use, since water is written in Ruby, we also do use Ruby for a wide variety of applications. So as I mentioned before, we do a lot of testing of web services and various other things using Ruby, which might qualify as both kind of regression and kind of a cross between integration and unit tests.
Brett asks, what do you like about water?
What I like about water is that the API is very simple. You know, talking to Brett after being involved with the project for the past 2.5 years, it's very clear that the API is, and its simplicity is geared towards always looking at the audience. And the audience for water is QA and QA engineers and testers. Certainly can expand beyond that, but that is the core audience, and that's what everything is phased towards. The fact that it's written in Ruby for us has been great. As testers become more technical, Ruby is a very, well, I don't want to say very simple language, but it's a nice, clean language to teach people who are new to programming and developing. So I have done both internally and externally some training. Internally, I've taken our QA staff, which the older staff was non-technical. The newer staff, as we've hired more people in, have become increasingly more technical and more kind of familiar with scripting in general. But the older staff and some of the newer staff and people who haven't had experience with Ruby, I've gone through some internal training classes to teach them Ruby. Also work with development teams and developers on a kind of a Ruby crash course. So moving from Java to Ruby is fairly simple. That crash course is a base 4-hour course split over 2 days. And then last year at Agile 2007, Brett and I teamed up to develop and teach the updated version of the water training.
Another question from Brett. What don't you like about water?
Right offhand, I can't think of... I honestly can't think of anything. One of the downsides, I guess, with water is that it is IE specific only. But that's changing very quickly, and that's something that's going to happen within the next couple of months or sooner. So the cross browser compatibility issue is probably water's biggest downfall right now. Otherwise, I love being involved with the project and love working with water.
You think FireWater integration will be done in such a short time?
Yeah, I think it's a possibility. So certainly a first version or a first stab at it with the concerted effort from a couple of people wouldn't take very long. And I don't want to hazard a guess, but I would say that that's probably not far off in the future.
Brett is working really hard, but I thought he'll need more time.
Yeah, so we've been working with Angres Singh and other people with this FireWater project to kind of fold that back in. Safari Water is also a possibility to fold back in, as well as the potential to just to create something similar to a spike that was done, was it last year, I believe, at AUTA, Austin Workshop on Testing Automation, where we ended up, Bob Cotton and Brett ended up wrapping Selenium with Water API. So that's certainly potential as well.
Another question from Water IC channel. Alan Baird asks, what frameworks have you been using with Water?
Yeah, so we've been using TestUnit. Our spec, when Brett and I worked on the training, the water training for Agile last year, we decided to go with RSpec. RSpec has a lot of benefits to it, and if I were to start over again, I would probably go with RSpec at this point. We've also got pretty sophisticated internal framework that we've developed in at Gap Inc. Direct, and hoping at some point that this year or soon to be able to switch over pretty quickly to RSpec.
Do you plan to use Core RSpec or Story Framework?
Yeah, I honestly haven't checked out the Story Framework very much. So at this point, I'm thinking just the standard RSpec.
What would you like to see in the future versions of Water?
Yeah, I mean, aside from the browser compatibility, there are a lot of Jira tickets and a lot of project road mapping that Brett and I have done. I was in Austin last year, visiting him in October, and we kind of mapped out what the future of Water might look like. So there definitely are some interesting things we can do with it. Basic things like cleaning up the dialogue support, as well as other possibilities, such as developing something like Selenium grid, so more support for running across a cloud or grid computing.
Have you used other flavors of Water, like FireWater, Safari Water, or implementations in other languages?
Not very much. So I have played around with FireWater to some extent. Took some of the tests that we had for a couple of small pieces of our website and converted some of the cases over to use FireWater instead of Water. FireWater is much further along in development than Safari Water. Safari Water is pretty basic in its support right now. I'm not sure what the plans are with that. FireWater certainly is higher on the priority list for us because Firefox support has become much more critical now than it was years ago, as Firefox has taken a larger chunk of the browser business.
Have you used other open source testing tools like Selenium?
I have. So Selenium at the time was touted as a very simple solution to web-based testing. When I last looked at it, or actually let me rephrase that, when I first started looking at it, it was very simple. The problem being it didn't support dialogues, it didn't support secure connections and that sort of thing. So I ended up having to try to run a reverse proxy with Apache to get base Selenium at that point to work. It's come a long way, and it's certainly a project that I'm keeping an eye on. I went to the Selenium meetup earlier this year, and it's interesting that they're solving the same problems that we're solving. So we're both in the same space. Selenium and Water, to me, are the top two tools in this field. The other tools or the other library sets, Wattage, Watten, haven't checked into, haven't seen the need for other languages. We're not a .NET shop. A Watten to us doesn't make sense. And I'm happy writing more Ruby code than writing Java code.
How do you think Selenium compares to Water?
So I actually just blogged about this week to some degree. So Selenium is, to me, much more developer-facing. The API is not as clean and simple. It's difficult to get set up. Going to the website and trying to figure out which project you should use, whether it's Selenium Core, Selenium RC, Selenium IDE, what does what, it's not a trivial matter to actually figure out which pieces are what and what you want to use. Water, by its nature, has always been very simple and has an elegant design. Selenium does some very interesting things technically, but unfortunately, due to some of its major problems with dialogues and other support, those were basically showstoppers for me as far as using Selenium. They are, as far as I can tell, based on the Selenium meetup, there are some potential changes coming to Selenium down the road. It sounds like they're integrating WebDriver and potentially looking at browser extensions, so becoming much more like water in their support. Hard to say. I'm not sure. I haven't seen much happen since the Selenium meetup. I was looking at their site earlier this week and haven't seen any updates or any news. So water to me has been a great tool to use, and I'm happy to say that both tools are probably good tools based on what your criteria is and what your needs are.
And based on the price. For the end, two more questions from Brett. Have you built any tools of your own?
Not specifically, no, as far as certainly not in the field. So internally, we have some tools for various testing purposes. Otherwise, not really anything that's been released now. Although we are planning on potentially releasing some of our testing framework.
Oh, I would just love to see other people's frameworks. The last question is, how do you help out with water?
Yeah, so like I say, after picking water as the testing tool for functional automation testing that we're going to use it at Gapping Direct, I immediately became involved with water. So that meant things like answering questions on the mailing list, writing code, porting the site over and back, writing facts. So in a variety of manners. One of the challenges on an open source project is to actually get people involved. So that's been a big challenge for us.
Thanks a lot, Charlie. We will end the show now.
Great. Good talking to you, Jelko.
Thanks, and hope to hear from you soon.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Water Podcast. Our website is waterpodcast.com. You can find Charlie at charliebakersblog.blogspot.com. My website is jelkofilippin.com. You will find links in episode show notes.